these things that we hold sacred. Communion, also known as the Lord's Supper. Mark 14:22 says these words, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it. This is my body.'" We hear these words or similar words every Sunday. They are in many ways automatic. They are routine to our ears as well as to our mouths. As disciples of Christ, we do something that other Protestant groups don't do or do a lot less often. We celebrate communion, as Justin said, every Sunday. In our denominational understanding, we do this meal, this Lord's Supper, as often as we gather together in worship. It is our routine. Several years ago, a minister friend of mine from another denomination, actually a non-denomination, he asked me, "Why do you practice communion every Sunday? It seems to me that it loses its meaning in the routineness of it. It loses its significance." I probably told him something about our tradition and then talked about Jesus saying that whenever we gather together, we are to do communion. And so we do so in remembrance of him. That is what I probably said. What do you believe about communion? Is it important to you? Is it important to you in your heart of hearts? I wonder if communion impacts my life in Christ much. I wonder, do I see any benefit from it, living out my daily life? Does it impart something to me that is tangible, that is real, that is not just a routine that has lost its significance? Is it just a practice that I have muscle memory? I ran across this quote the other day. It's by an author, and I cannot pronounce his name. It's one of those Spanish names that goes on for about a whole sentence. Berta, you could probably do it right off. I think Francois is the first of the name, but then it lost me. So he's the author of The Royal Way of the Cross. That part I remember. And he said this about routines in our world that appear to be the normal way of life. He says this. He says, "God hides his work beneath a series of imperceptible events, both in grace and in nature. And thus, God subjects us to the mysteries of faith. Not only does God accomplish this work gradually, but God does it by the most simple and likely means, so that its success appears natural to us. Otherwise, all that God does would be as a perpetual miracle, which would overthrow the life of faith by which God would have us exist." My takeaway from this quote is simply, so keep it real. This mysterious journey that we are called on, that we call faith, God gives us simple markers along the way in this journey. And for me, one of those mile markers on this life journey is trusting God. Trusting God in the miraculous gift of bread. Why bread? Maybe it's because bread permeates all cultures, or almost all cultures. To me, it is really kind of a universal language, if you will. The texture and the taste may be somewhat different among different cultures, but it seems to be a constant in our collective lives. Bread can be flat, it can be baked, it can be boiled, it can be airy, it can be dense, it can be whatever, but it is seeped in culture and always seems to have a meaning and cultural context. I personally love the Indian bread naan. Anybody know what naan is? A lot of us do. I just love it. There's a whole different type set of naans, and I have found one that really is kind of a breakfast. It's a pistachio something type, and it is amazing. Some of you may be familiar with a northern China bread called mantou. Now, if we had some of our other people in our congregation right now, they would be able to say, Brian, you mispronounced that, and I would say, yes, I probably did. I am sure about an Irish bread called soda bread. Is that how you pronounce that? I got that one right, Sean. Thank you. Okay. Among the Israeli people, you also have matzah bread. In fact, it is broken and placed on our communion trays. There is also this Middle Eastern bread that is universal within our culture as well now, and that is pita bread. We have different forms of bread all over the place. Those are just a few of the many that permeate our lives and that we have collectively shared and incorporated into our lives. But a larger question for me is, why did Jesus use bread to talk about himself, his life? I wonder if in Jesus' day, it was very similar to our feelings about bread, in that bread is found in literature, both biblical and secular, that bread is representative of all food. That's why Jesus said bread of life, because it means food. And as we all know, food means life. The absence of food is starvation. Many of us in this church have volunteered at the ministry called Feed My Starving Children, and we have seen the images of what this food, through video and also conversation, of what this package, millions and millions of packaged meals do for that child and for their family and for that whole culture, that whole village, that whole region. In a very real way, that food brings hope. So food equals hope. We know that food is very popular within our culture. In fact, there is a whole channel devoted to food called the Food Channel. And it tells us and our country about our connection to bread, to the food of life that is so strong. These foodie shows, I call them, are all the rave, and viewership is very strong. Many new food shows are added every year. In fact, there's even a competition on one show so that you can have your own Food Channel Network show. We also know that in the U.S. we consume a lot of food. Our restaurants are full on the weekends. A new restaurant that opens in an area becomes saturated and swarmed with eager customers because we love to eat. I believe that it's not just the eating that is important. We like the fellowship. We like the relationships, the connectedness that it offers to us in celebration. We have heard, you are what you eat. I know that often goes with a trail of ingredients, some healthy, some bad, some fat, some lean, some organic, some GMO'd. The list of food ingredients can be staggering. So to distill all that information about food and the complications that surround it, I want to go down to the elemental, to the basic of life. Bread. Our scripture this morning simply gives us verbs. Jesus, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and they took it. Jesus reached out. He embraced. He took hold of life in this upper room occupied by his friends, who he also called his family. In a few minutes, we will celebrate communion. We will celebrate the words that are often used as the first element. After we pray, and when the elder and I come back up to the table, I will lift up the element and will say, the bread of life. The elder has said the blessing. This blessing, this giving thanks, is not for the bread, it is to the maker of the bread, to the maker of all life, the King of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Then Jesus broke it. I hear and I feel the image of sacrifice, the sacrifice. Jesus, the host of the meal, was also a servant. He washed feet, he healed, and he touched people with his hands as well as his heart. He served them food, he offered life. Thus he taught servanthood through being a living sacrifice. To be personal for just a moment, if I am really honest with myself, I wonder, am I a servant of Jesus who is willing to sacrifice my life? Am I a servant of Jesus Christ who is willing to sacrifice my comfort, even my ego, for others, as Jesus did? And if I'm really serious about this life ever before me, as exemplified in this bread, I wonder, am I just eating this meal to move on? But then I hear this little whisper. Jesus gave it. He reached out with open hands. And still I must confess that this bread, this life, becomes hard to receive. Sometimes I'm not sure if I want to take the bread, knowing that with that bread, the receiving therein, comes sacrifice attached to it. So, in my honest moments, I whisper to God, Lord, all I want to do is just eat this bread and move on. I just want to do the routine. I don't want to think about what it means to me. I don't want to get really inside of me, or want it to get inside of me and really start to become a part of me, to begin to remake me. Lord, can't I just eat the bread, please? But even though his life through the cross, even though his bread is tough, because it involves sacrifice, it involves letting go of self. His bread asks me, his life asks me, in fact, inspires me to take up my cross daily and follow him. I have to confess that when I thought about preaching this sermon several months ago, my goal was to share some cute phrases and just practice communion as usual. I wanted to talk about the Greek meaning behind the word Eucharist. I wanted to talk about the symbolic meaning of bread in culture, in the significance in literature, in religious practice. See, that's safe. It keeps me here and out of here. But this week, I believe that God brought to my memory a family who left one of my churches that I served. They had grown up in the Disciples Church, but they decided to leave. I think they wanted to break away from the church of their family, their parents, and they wanted to go and find a church that they could make their own. So they stepped out, tried something exciting and new. I called them. I gave them some distance. We had had conversation about it. And I called them a couple months after they had left, and I asked them how they were doing, and they said, well, Brian, honestly, we're struggling. And the reason we're struggling is we miss communion. We miss communion every Sunday. The church that we're going to celebrates it quarterly, if that. They felt a loss. When they returned back to church a few Sundays following, they were engaged in church life like they were never before. I wondered what had changed in them. what really had happened to them, with them, in them. Now, several years later, through that quote that I shared earlier in the sermon, came the words that touched my heart, and maybe without knowing this quote, touched theirs as well. Maybe they heard, not only does God accomplish this work gradually, but God does it by the most simple and likely means, so that its success appears natural to us. Why bread? I believe because gradually, in stealth mode, if you will, Jesus came to give us life, abundant life. Please pray with me. Lord, I don't understand this mystery of the Lord's Supper of communion. It'd be foolish of me to say that I do. Lord, you work behind the scenes in miraculous ways in my life, in the lives of your people, to accomplish in the routine something spectacular, something miraculous. And you use such simple elements. Lord, may we take this moment to come in our service when we eat the bread of life. May we ask ourselves, what is going on here, Lord? What are you doing in my heart to make me more and more like your Son? In Jesus' precious name we pray.